Welcome to the Principled Podcast, brought to you by LRN. The Principled Podcast brings together the collective wisdom on ethics, business and compliance, transformative stories of leadership, and inspiring workplace culture. Listen in to discover valuable strategies from our community of business leaders and workplace changemakers.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Principled Podcast by LRN. My name is Ben DiPietro. I'm the editor of LRN's ENC Pulse newsletter. Please find it on Google and subscribe. We're here today with Leo S. McKay Jr., Senior Vice President of Ethics and Enterprise Assurance at Lockheed Martin. Hello, Leo. Thank you for taking some time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Ben, I'm a big fan of some of your previous work, and I think this is obviously a very worthwhile topic, so let's get at it.
Sure. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Let's start at the beginning here. Tell listeners how you came to work at Lockheed Martin, what led you to ethics and compliance, and basically just give us a little summary of your journey to this point.
What led me to ethics and compliance was that our chief executive said, I think I need you to be our vice president for ethics and business conduct. We'd had a succession of lawyers in the position up until me, and he wanted someone who had more of a general management background. And I had been a senior executive in government and as well as run business areas at other firms and also here at Lockheed Martin. And he just wanted that perspective. And, you know, that started a long career and over a decade in ethics and related fields. My first professional experience, to answer the first question now, my first professional experience was in the U.S. Navy. I graduated from the Naval Academy in the 80s and was a fighter pilot for a while, went to grad school. And then in 1995, my first civilian job was actually here at Lockheed Martin. The deal was do a couple of years at the corporate center, get your feet under you from a commercial business standpoint, and then we'll get you out to one of the business areas. And when it came time after a couple of years to go out to the business areas, I actually had a really compelling offer from another firm, Bell Helicopter Textron. You know, they offered to both make me a vice president, but also to give me a series of assignments that would lead to general management. And to make a long story short, that's exactly what happened. And things happened actually a little bit more quickly than they had programmed. So I was happily running the aftermarket services business unit when the election of 2001 happened. And one of the things I'd wanted to do in my professional life was to serve in government. And I got a chance to serve the Bush 43 administration at the Department of Veterans Affairs, and actually at a higher level than I would have anticipated at that point in my career. So I was not quite 40 years old when I was the deputy secretary at VA, which is a very large cabinet department. It's actually the second largest after DRD. Very large management challenge.
So, Leo, what is unique about leading ethics and compliance at a defense company compared to doing it at a company in a different sector? How does that aspect of national defense and having a close relationship with the government factor into what you do and how you do it?
I'll take both parts, both in ethics and in compliance. First of all, in compliance, there are a lot of regulations. There's the Defense Contract Audit Agency, Defense Contract Management, I think it's Command, DCMC. There are a lot of regulations, and it's not just the Defense Department. It's also the State Department, Commerce Department for certain dual-use items. The government monitors us very closely in our domestic operations, but especially in our international transfers. All transfers of technology or services or products are licensed by the government, which means we have explicit permission. Even our marketing of those items is monitored by the government, and there are officials in DOD that bear the title suspension and debarment official, which means that there is someone in the government whose job it is to suspend or debar individuals, parts of our company or our whole company, if we infringe on the rules, and particularly if we infringe on them in a serious way. And on the ethics side, maybe because of the stringency with respect to complying with regulations, defense companies and the defense industry, aerospace industry, cooperates among itself on the ethics side. First of all, there's an industry-wide commitment to ethics and ethics programs, to go beyond the strictures of the law, to be transparent and forthright in the conduct of our business. There are organizations like the Defense Industry Initiative, which goes back to the 80s, and the International Forum on Business Ethics Conduct that is more recent, that are, you know, organizations where aerospace and defense firms consider best practices, have conferences to discuss those things with academic experts and legal professionals that are well-versed on the topics at hand. And there's actually a lot of both formal and informal networking and benchmarking that goes on because, you know, we understand that even though we see ourselves as quite different, Lockheed Martin or Northrop Grumman or Raytheon or General Dynamics, we understand that in the whole and in the popular imagination, we sort of exist as the defense industry. And what is an issue for one of us is an issue for all. So that's one of the very nice things about being in the defense industry. There is quite a lot of cooperation, collaboration, and sharing. I never mark charts that I use to brief about ethics topics with proprietary markings because, you know, we like to be very much open kimono and sharing, not only with our, you know, competimates, is the term that's been coined, but also especially with our supply chain. We actually work very hard to mentor selected suppliers, you know, because of the strictures, some high demands with respect to due diligence of our supply chain. And we work with our supply chain as a prime contractor to ensure their compliance with the laws and regulations that apply to us in the defense industry.
One of your tasks at Lockheed Martin was to integrate ethics and compliance with the internal audit enterprise risk function. What were some of the challenges in doing that, and how did you manage to get that all together, if you can take us through that?
Well, the challenges, to the extent that they existed, were the kind of mundane ones you have when you bring together organizations. You have to try to be transparent, front, manage any sort of misconception. But on the substantive side, it's all been, in our experience, upside. And because there's a theme of risk management that really runs through all of these activities. And, you know, we sort of coined the enterprise assurance term as an umbrella term to describe what it is we do. Because in all of these five disciplines, in internal audit, in ethics and compliance, in enterprise risk management, in sustainability, and in environment safety and health, you know, we are contributing to the surety that our chief executive and board have that our company is being operated with respect to all applicable laws and policies and regulations. And the key things that undergirds that our approach to producing that kind of assurance is risk management. And that goes to, you know, the disciplines are distinct, but a lot of the tools and methodologies and processes are allied. Risk identification, you know, risk assessment, and particularly the developing world of data analytic tools are readily shareable across some of these disciplines, even if the data and the specific uses are sui generis.
Are there still times, though, when these issues need to be separated and handled individually? And if so, when?
The disciplines, as I said, do remain separate, particularly with respect to like internal audit. They have to have independence in order to comply with the standards of that discipline. So in that instance, you know, their independence can't be compromised. Likewise with ethics, as we investigate ethics allegations and have cases with respect to ethics, those have to be kept confidential. One of the things that is a cornerstone of our ethics program is that folks that come to us with ethics allegations, our investigation will be done in a confidential manner. So there are times and there are requirements that adhere to the disciplines that spike them out for separate handling. For instance, I talked about ethics and the data that's generated in our ethics program because of the need for confidentiality can't be shared outside of its bounds. Same with internal audit in order to maintain its independence. So slightly different reasons, but factors that argue for, you know, holding the processes separately in some cases.
Leo, are you finding other departments more willing to embrace ethics and compliance than they were in the past? And what can ethics and compliance do to better lay the groundwork for positive relationships with other business units, with executive management, with the board?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. With respect to other activities that lie outside of our immediate control in the enterprise assurance organization, one of the things that we have is a compliance risk assessment that we do biennially. And that actually goes across the compliance universe of the corporation. So, for instance, privacy and international trade controls aren't part of our department. Those two happen to reside in our legal department, but they are involved in compliance-like activities. And so our compliance risk assessment is done from a corporate perspective. So it would encompass not only our activities, but those of other departments outside of ours. And one of the things that we generate the data, and we look for some of those things that we've talked about with respect to risk management, the identification of risk, the assessment of risk. And what we've done is on the follow-up to our compliance risk command, risk assessment, we sit down with the individual risk owners in a discipline like privacy or international trade controls, and we will go over the results of the compliance risk assessment. And so we generate a set of potential gaps or issues in their area. And in the compliance risk assessment that we completed in 2018, about 75% of the issues that we identified and recommended an action based on our perception of risk assessment, those were adopted by the risk owners and completed. And in the remaining 25%, there was a reason why the risk was not judged to be serious and within the risk appetite of the organization, or there were other compensatory means that brought the risk within the risk appetite. So it was a very healthy way to engage other parts of the organization with respect to risk management and risk identification.
As you move forward, what's happening at Lockheed Martin in terms of diversity and inclusion? And how is all this being shaped by Me Too and other social activism from employees, investors, and others?
You mentioned the hashtag Me Too movement and then sort of the general concerns with diversity. And those are a subject that are a vital part of our sustainability management plan. And our sustainability report explains both the metrics that we've laid out for ourselves with respect to progress in those areas and also our progress to date. We've been very ambitious with respect to inclusion and participation, and we have goals for both our recruitment and retention. They're all discussed in the sustainability report. And with respect to Me Too, that has affected our ethics awareness training. We have a mandatory portion of our ethics training. We have video-based, scenario-driven 1 hour of training that's actually delivered by supervisors. So the leader of a work group will use the video resources that we write all the scripts, go out to California, partner with SAG production crews and actors and actresses, and do actually a very high order production that actually you can look at on our website, LockheedMartin.com/ethics, and you can actually look at some of the training that we offer to our employees. And then we also have a voluntary component of our ethics training. We call them the Integrity Minute. They are high production values like the videos, but we also seek some sense to be entertained and to draw the workforce in. They come out in three segments and a story builds, and they're always learning and ethical content that is able to be pulled out of the series. Even though it's voluntary, when an Integrity Minute, and we do 3 to 4 a year, when it really sort of catches the imagination of our workforce, we'll have 35% of our employees that will voluntarily watch the Integrity Minute series. So it's been a very, very content-rich way for us to bring up ethics, to discuss ethics, and to involve our employees in considering what the demands of ethics are in along a continuum of issues and incidents.
Well, I want to thank you very much for your time, Leo, and appreciate you sitting in talking to us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Principled Podcast is brought to you by LRN. At LRN, our mission is to inspire principled performance in global organizations by helping them foster winning, ethical cultures rooted in sustainable values. Please visit us at LRN.com to learn more. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to leave us a review.